Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
This is Selina speaking, and I am one of the founders of Project Love. I have a very special guest joining me in today's podcast, Kirsty Hanley. Kirsty is a coach, writer, speaker, and a cognitive hypnotherapy master practitioner. She was recommended to me as someone who really helps people bring about change in their lives by helping them to move through the unconscious patterns that hold you back in life. So I met up with her and we just talked and talked and talked about everything from the importance of really getting into the messy stuff when you're wanting to bring about transformation in your life to the masculine and feminine energies that play out in relationships, to the importance of women being able to really own their anger and their rage in order to fully step into their feminine power. There is so much to learn from Kirsty. She's such a wise woman and such a joy to speak to. So I hope you enjoy today's podcast where we cover all those topics and more. And you'll hear Kirsty talk about her Meet You Us program, which is starting in November 2017, where it's a 6-month journey to guide you towards creating inspired love and intimacy in your life. So more details about that at the end of the podcast. For now, sit back and enjoy this podcast. Hello, Kirsty. Thank you so much for joining me today.
So lovely to be here. Thank you.
Let's start off. Could you please explain to everyone a little bit about what you do and how you work with people?
Yes, absolutely. So I originally trained as a cognitive hypnotherapist and was doing a lot of really deep work with people in all kind of realms of their life. So around, you know, anxieties, anyone, you know, dealing with depression, really some really big, heavy stuff, lots of relationship stuff, obviously, as well. And cognitive hypnotherapy is a kind of umbrella term that encompasses lots of tools from different disciplines. So there's hypnosis, there's NLP, there's positive psychology, that we're trained in using specific language patterns for unconscious change called word weaving, and lots and lots of different things that provide a really bespoke way of working with each client. And the thing about the therapy is it moves people through their stuff very quickly. It's amazing the transformations that people can have using this these tools. But what I was finding is that people were moving through their stuff, and then there was this kind of question mark of how they would begin to integrate this into their life. So I went much further down the journey of coaching. And now I've actually moved much more away from direct therapeutic work. And I work with people over a longer period of time, over 6 months, a year, sometimes 18 months, on specific kind of, in a coaching way, I guess, on specific things that they want to be working on. So it might be on relationships, it might be on like a career shift. But most importantly, what I work on with everybody is finding a deeper connection to themselves. So a deeper connection to their own intimacy and into the intimacies that they experience in the world and what that means for who they are and what they create. And often I'll work with clients on creating some really beautiful sort of important legacy projects, or, you know, a mark that they want to leave on the world in some way.
Oh, wow.
Being sort of more of who they already are, essentially, you know, by being more connected to themselves. But often where that starts is in relationships, you know, relationships to themselves, to others, to how they see the world. So it's a really beautiful journey, and I have an office in Harley Street, so I see people face to face there, and I also work online. But you know, the thing that I find really exciting is that I am my business. You know, I am what I do, and so I use myself almost like a research project.
Of course,
all of these things. You know, so I'm always going on, you know, training with amazing people and just doing some really exciting sort of things in my life that means that I can kind of take different things to my clients too. The thing that I think is always worth keeping in mind is that we kind of habitually do life to a level that we kind of feel comfortable in. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we kind of, we all, it's like when I sit in front of my clients, you know, I'll ask them to kind of tell me, you know, what's going on for them, say, for example. And people will habitually kind of spout the usual stuff, you know, well, this is happening, that's happening. This is how I feel, that's how I feel. We all do it. But I will always invite my clients to go to the layer below their comfort, you know, like to just take, like, if we were to dive deeper than that today, where would we go? And that habitual layer is generally where people do relating from. So like in your relationship, in sex, in everything, in our friendships, generally there'll be a kind of place that you're habitually used to going. And so to develop a level of deeper intimacy, which basically all humans are craving, you know, all humans want connection. It's about kind of being able to explore kind of, I don't know, like sort of stripping back some of the habitual things that you do so that you can meet another human being in a much more kind of connected way. And actually, so you can meet yourself in a much more connected way and understand more about, you know, just basic things like, how are you actually feeling? What's going on for you? What are the sensations you're experiencing in your body? You know, what does that mean for how you move in the world and how you create in the world? Women, particularly in our society right now, we have basically been taught, and rightly so, because we needed to swing back the other way. But, you know, we've been taught a very masculine way of living our lives. You know, we take control over our lives, and that's a good thing if we don't get stuck in it. Because what happens if we are, you know, taking care of everything, if we are, you know, just being masculine, being feminine, doing the do all the time, it displaces our masculine partners. And actually most people are craving more of the masculine in their partner than they're receiving right now, because we're living in a very sort of feminized society. So it's important for us as women to learn to let go as well, you know, to learn to receive, you know, receive is such an important thing. But we're always taking control. So it's very difficult for, you know, those things to be played with. And I'm in a women's group, and at the moment, you know, this is one of the sort of things that we're developing a lot of practices around, because we're all, I mean, I don't like to use the word control freak about myself, except I really am.
Oh, well, I will join you with taking on that label.
Like, I don't like to let go. But, you know, this is the big practice that I've been in for a good few years now, is like, you know, how can I allow? How can I receive? How can I surrender? And this is huge for the women I work with, absolutely huge. And it goes on every level, you know, like physically, you know, softening the body, doing practices that open, things that I ask for, things that I invite into my life, you know, in a different way. And for the, you know, just every, basically, I would say kind of 99% of women that I come into contact with, you know, this is a really important thing about how can we receive more of what it is that we're asking for all the time. Because, you know, we ask for it, but then when it comes, we don't know how to hold it. So
how to receive it. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, we really look a lot at feminine power and the feminine, and, you know, using like Aphrodite in her power. What is she like? And it's that softening, it's that opening up, and it's the receiving. But we find a lot of people who come to us that are also looking for kind of help to transform their love lives. This is where they're, exactly what you're saying, are stuck in this being the sort of taking on the masculine role and the doing and the getting out there. And the idea, and I was speaking to a journalist in Germany about this, and she said, are you telling me that what I have to now be sort of like a sort of little woman that's just there, you know, meek and mild and sort of just now going back to what my mother and my grandmothers were and sort of suppressed. And I was like, no. And that's exactly where people are getting confused, because they're thinking that to step back and receive and to open up and be feminine means to be lesser or to be weaker. And that's where we need to be, you know, showing people that the power of being in your feminine and receiving rather than going out and, you know, getting what you want, just opening up and welcoming it in. And I think I love to have both. I love to be both of those things. But it took me a while to really understand what it meant to step into my power as that sort of soft feminine receiving. And it's really beautiful. And Marian Williamson does a whole thing on Aphrodite. She's been so interesting in talking about how, you know, at the end of work, when you're like all in Athena, which is the sort of out there career aspect of yourself, coming home, even having a bubble bath, lighting a candle, or doing something a little bit more simple if you've got kids, you don't have time for a luxurious 1 hour when you come home, but even changing your clothes to step into your sort of Aphrodite home feminine and step into that other aspect of yourself. So you're not always like on and then you're kind of like getting out there, making shit happen mode.
Absolutely. You know, one of the biggest things that is important for women is how to experience pleasure in your body. Like to be in your body enough to feel pleasure in your body. Because what happens when we go into that, I love what you're saying about the Athena mode, you know, is, you know, the armor is on and she's a warrior, you know, and going out into the world and creating. And that's important for a lot of women to be able to go into that. But you're right, you know, to balance it out with then how do you soften? How do you relax? You know, most women who are in that mode will, you know, continue to do things like Ashtanga yoga and, you know, and sort of very still, silent meditation practices. But actually, you know, how can you get more into the lusciousness of your body? You know, it's like getting into, you know, I love putting on music and just dancing, you know, and sometimes it can be really kind of, you know, something really naughty or something, you know, just whatever it is that you feel like will open your body and kind of get you into a space of much more flow and floaty as a balance, you know, so that again, it's like, it's training your system into a choice. So you don't need to be stuck in any one thing, but you know, what I've noticed for myself is when I'm very in my masculine, my body starts to hurt. Like it actually responds badly. You know, it's
interesting.
Like the structure of my body, I get backaches, I get pain in my neck, my jaw gets stiff. You know, I need to be able to balance it out with that soft, floaty, feminine practice to feel good in my body.
Do you know what my dentist said to me? This is very related to what he just said. It just reminded me. He said, "You've got a very handsome jaw." I said, "Do you mean I've got a man's jaw?" And he said, "Well, yeah, you would normally see it in a man." And I was just like, this is not making my day at all. He said, "You're obviously really scrunching your jaw, like really grinding your teeth. And so you developed muscle at the side of your jaw, which has given it a really square shape." I was just like, stop right now. This is not for you to tell me that I'm so much in my masculine that it's actually, it's changing the features.
That's really interesting, isn't it? That doesn't surprise me, actually. That's a really that's a really interesting observation. I think I probably can identify with that too. And, you know, just a really simple practice is to allow your lips to be really soft. You know, most women, when they're holding tension in their face, will really purse their lips or hold, you know, be tight in that area. But actually just to be really soft and luscious and allow the blood to flow more in your lips and open your mouth just that slightly, and you know, just kind of feel the softness in that area can be just a really simple practice you can do anywhere. You can do on the tube, you can, you know, like just release that tension and feel. It's about pleasure in your body. You know, like allowing pleasure to run through your body. That's the feminine practice, you know, to be love, feel love, be Aphrodite.
You told me this when we originally met, and this is what really stuck with me. This is why I keep sending people your way. What you had said to me was that you can have a desire to do something, make something happen, have something in your life. But if your unconscious is not on board with that, it just ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Remind me exactly, and you said some wild percentage about most actions are actually controlled by...
Yeah, so your unconscious mind, yeah, controls about 90% of your experience. And that's probably a conservative estimate, which is horrendous, right? For all us kind of like in control women and everybody else. You know? You sort of like consciously have this idea that we're running the show. And actually there's all this other stuff going on under the surface. So, you know, like on this, I mean, this is something that happens very regularly. You know, people say, I want a relationship. But, you know, that 90% under the surface is going, well, actually, no, this is not a good idea. Relationships are not safe, or they're not, you know, whatever it might be that your mind is kind of holding onto an idea of. And it happens with, you know, creation and work and things as well. You know, it's like, you know, I want to achieve this or that, or I should be able. A lot of people say I should be able to do this, but I'm just not. But it's just not happening, you know? Mm. And so that's one of the things that I work with a lot with people is on releasing those unconscious blocks so that your conscious and unconscious alignment can come. And then you get into a place of flow, you know, and you can create what it is that you want. And, you know, there's another thing that happens, which is really fascinating, which is like, it can be that people achieve to a certain level and then they have an unconscious dismantling. That's another thing that, you know, and in relationships, this shows itself too, but you know, it shows itself in career. So, you know, like you can achieve to a certain level, but then you have what's called like a havingness level. Like how much love am I willing to have? How much success am I willing to have? How much recognition? How much am I willing to be seen? How much money am I willing to have? You know, is a really big one for people. And then, you know, you kind of hit your ceiling and then you find that there's this, like things are just not working somehow all of a sudden, you know, like there's something going on here that doesn't seem quite right. And all of a sudden I've dismantled what it is I've created. That's a very common one. And once that clears, that can be a big one to free people up.
Oh, that is so interesting. I often find with people that there's, if their parents, for example, if they've got a close bond with their parents, they didn't get beyond point with wealth or career happiness or freedom or in their relationship, whatever it is, they don't want to go beyond that point because it feels like a betrayal to their parents. And there's just all sorts of stuff going on. And I used to have a thing where, because I loved my work so much and I never knew it was possible to love and enjoy such freedom and creativity and everything in the work that I did, that I felt that was why probably I wasn't also having a relationship, because like I'd used up my quota. That was literally what I had in my head. It's like, well, I couldn't have both. But I don't know what would happen. The world would implode. I'm not sure what I thought was going to happen. I couldn't have both. And I really had to challenge that. But it was such a surprise to be like, is that actually what? Are you really thinking that? And it really was. I couldn't have both of those things working in my life. Yeah. So it was always, there had to be, you know, there had to be some sacrifice. There had to be a payoff. There had to be something I wasn't getting in order to have what I had. So weird where all that stuff comes from.
It's fascinating. And, you know, it's you on a conscious level, you can challenge that as well as doing sort of some of the deeper unconscious work. And it's, you know, like you say, sort of bringing awareness to it. And it can be a bit like stretching an elastic band, you know, it's like you stretch it right out and really challenge yourself. And then it comes back in, but it's always bigger than it was before, you know. And if you keep doing that, there are, I mean, you know, it's like there are some energetic practices you can do around that as well, because the idea that, I don't know, this doesn't apply to everything, but it's quite a good concept of how we do something is how we do everything. You can kind of see that different things show up. So for example, I used to do a practice called orgasmic meditation. I still do sometimes, actually. I feel like sometimes I should do it more often because it's an amazing practice. But what you notice in that practice is how much sensation am I willing to hold in my body? How much can I hold before I pop out, you know, before I distract myself with a thought in my head, before I go somewhere else. And that is the same in life. You're like, how much sensation are we willing to hold? How much are we willing to to tolerate almost before we do something to distract ourselves or to, you know, check out or to, you know, something happens to pull us out of that sensation. And that can be an amazing sort of practice to notice in yourself. And you can do it, you know, on every level. You know, it can be, how much appreciation am I willing to hold? How much sense of sex? How much, how much money am I willing to earn? All kinds of things, you know, before there's a story that comes in, or I, you know, I distract myself, or I get too little sleep, or I party too hard, or I, you know, like something comes in to pull you out of that situation,
to stop the flow and to sort of sabotage things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But but stretching that band, you know, just noticing, okay, so this is where I normally would check out. So what if I just go that tiny bit further today? What does that feel like in my system? What does that feel like, you know, in my mind? Okay, that feels okay. All right. So next time you can go a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further. And it's a wonderful thing to be in.
So what was it? Orgasmic meditation.
That's an orgasmic meditation practice, yeah. Yeah.
So that can obviously presumably really help with your sex life, but also with the wider aspects of life in general and being able to take on more and be open to receiving more of the good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Receiving is, you know, although despite its name, it's not a sexual practice as such. It's more of a sensation-based spiritual practice.
Can it be used to actually then improve your sex life, or is it totally disconnected?
No, you learn how to have completely mind-blowing orgasms at the same time.
Well, that's handy. You know what? I'm interested. This sounds like something would be worthwhile doing. So I'd like more joy in my life, more money, and more mind-blowing orgasms. So I will. Where do I sign up? I do have one more question. What I find really interesting when it comes to male, female, masculine, feminine, is that I find certainly coming up for me, it's something that I've had to work on recently and have found many great ways to work on it, but there's still elements there, is that sort of ancestral, I sort of feel that it's in my bloodline, in my DNA, that the power struggle and the anger as a woman towards men for what have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of suppression and not being treated with respect and equality. And there is a side of me that is what I describe as an ancient angry witch who is like, I want to destroy them for that. And I've done huge healing work around that. And that's really helped. But I'm just... do you find that that comes up as there's, you know, that's a deep-rooted struggle for some women with men because of that history that we have really had between men and women for such a long time? We're only just coming out of it, and it still exists. Look at, in, you know, the world of work and the pay gap. And I was saying with a friend the other day, you often find when friends are having children, you suddenly, that inequality, the male-female role, an unquestioning, this is what the woman's role is, starts to surface, and it can actually cause problems in relationships because of that still ingrained inequality. Is that something you've worked on or that you've worked with women on?
Yeah. So one of the things that I am really, really big on is not doing spiritual bypassing. You know, there are a lot of kind of teachings that will get you to really focus on the kind of the upper chakras, you know, like go into that sort of light, floaty, what people would traditionally have described feminine space. I see the feminine as a very different, in a very different way, that really to embrace that, like the fierce power of the feminine being very, very important. And with that comes rage, anger,
yeah.
Visceral, are, you know? And again, you know, like as women, we have often been, well, for centuries, we've been trained out of that, you know, we've been trained into this nice kind of, you know, seen and not heard kind of nonsense. But actually, you know, this is one of the reasons that women's groups are really important, I think, because to find ways to express that and to be that, knowing that, you know, the feminine is like, you know, it's waves of difference all the time, you know, it's like the ocean, you know, you're constantly flowing in and out of different emotions, different thoughts, different feelings, and we don't have to get stuck in any one of them as a kind of identity, that, but we can learn to express. So in every moment, you know, you can be in hatred, you can be in, you know, rage, you can be in love, you can be in passion, you can, you know, and then here comes something else again, you know, and to really embrace that. And to, you know, I've done some wonderful work with men, actually, where I've been encouraged and given the space to rage in their faces, you know, and to be embraced through that, you know, which has been incredibly transformational, because our experience often as women is we express those darker parts of ourselves and the masculine leaves, or it's not acceptable, or we're shut down, or, you know, and actually not to bypass that experience, but to own it as your power. And actually, what if you were to create from that place? You know, what if that rage were exactly what was needed for you to, you know, to produce in the world what it is you want to produce? You know, literally giving birth, you know, you're roaring, you know, if you do it viscerally, you're at, you know, you're making these sounds out of your body which express something really powerful. There's nothing light and fluffy about it, you know. So, you know, I think it's really important as women to own that and to, yeah, like sometimes I'm going to rage, but I don't need to blame you. I'm just rage, you know, and it's how you put it out into the world.
I'm just raging, I find huge clarity and power comes from being allowed to experience and express my rage, particularly for certain situations. And then, you know, once the rage has passed, it's like a fire. It has such a clarifying sort of impact. And I think that, yeah, I love that description of that feminine power coming from that rage. And I think our passion is in there as well. So if you can release the rage, you will also often find the passion in there as well and the focus.
Well, it's also, you know, it's such a visceral, being a woman is a visceral experience on every level, you know. There's nothing kind of neat about it. And yet so often, you know, we're trying to sort of flatten out the edges. But actually, you know, the thing is about owning your experience, I think. And, you know, I always take every opportunity I can be to be in a room full of people roaring.
You know? Yeah, right? Because that's human,
so
and real.
Just to kind of, I did something recently where we had blindfolds on and we were just in our own space, just being as wild as we needed to be, you know.
Oh my God, I'd love that.
Just gorgeous to be in that.
I love that.
You know, it's like there's to somatically move these things through your body, you know, is wonderful. And it's great to do the head work. It's really important to do that, you know, to do the unconscious patterning work and all of that and to understand and, you know, but actually, you know, if there's energetic pockets of stuff that we're holding in our bodies, the other, you know, talking of intimacy, the other person feels that, you know, they feel that in our systems as much as we do. So, yeah, I mean, I love all of that. I think, you know, embracing every facet of the feminine in all of her, you know, wildness is just wonderful.
The wild woman. But it kind of, and it brings us also beautifully back to the original title of this podcast, which was going to be The Magic is in the Messiness. Mm. You know, I think it was talking about all this stuff that I think you came up with that. You were like, yeah, well, the magic is in messiness. And I was like, yes, that is. And I think sometimes in the sort of with the new phase of wellness industry and coaching. And, you know, I got into this stuff when it was seriously uncool to A, be a coach or do anything that was like online courses 10 years ago. And now it's got a whole new vibe to it. And I think sometimes it is dressed up as very light and clean and fluffy, and you don't need to go, like, exactly what you're saying, I think, you know, doing the, did you call it a spiritual sidestep?
Spiritual bypassing.
Spiritual bypass. And I think there's quite a lot of opportunity for people to do that, because we don't want to go into the messiness, but it is in that wild feminine messiness that we really truly connect with ourselves and embrace all of our aspects. And I think from what you're saying, that to me is where you find that intimacy with yourself and therefore with others and the rest of the world.
Absolutely. And it's real, you know. It's like, you can't, we're humans, you can meditate as many hours as you want to meditate, but you're still going to be a human, and you're still going to be having a human experience, and you're still going to be feeling a heck of a lot every day. And to actually not try and bypass that, but to open through it, is incredibly powerful and beautiful.
Wow. I feel like we have given everybody listening a taster menu.
A rollercoaster ride.
Kirsty Hanley, sex and intimacy, magic is found in the messiness. I mean, male, female, you know, dynamic, masculine, feminine, just all of it. And there is so much more we could go into on so many different levels and different topics. But above all, I would just like people to go and visit your website, go and find out more about you and how they can work with you, but also this new course that you've just started. Tell us how people can work with you and about this course that you've started.
Yeah, absolutely. So so I do one-to-one coaching in person, like I said, and via Skype. So that's one of the ways that people can work with me. And we've recently, along with a wonderful men's work coach called Yaron Engler, launched a program called Me, You, Us, which is really about diving into all of this stuff that we've been talking about how you can sort of connect to yourself deeper, how you can understand and connect to the other deeper, and what that means for how we all come together. And we've got various talks and workshops, which we're just finalizing dates and locations for. They're coming up in the autumn.
Oh, fantastic.
It's going to be really fun. Yeah. And also we've got a really exciting 6-month program that starts in November for 6 men and 6 women to come together, both in person and online, to explore all of this stuff in a really beautiful journey where, you know, how often do you get a chance to actually ask questions of the other, you know, ask questions of the men, of the women? How do you experience this? What is this like for you? And to come together in some of these practices of intimacy that you can then take into your relationships. It's going to be, I'm so excited. It's going to be wonderful.
That sounds amazing. Okay, so people need to go to kirstyhanley.com.
I've got two websites. There's kirstyhanley.co.uk. That's my old therapy website, actually. But the website that's got all of this information is inspiringlivescoaching.com. And there's also me-you-us.co.uk. So both of those places will take you to some more information about that. And on either website, just drop me a line if you want to get in contact with me, and we can connect and create a time for a conversation if any of this appeals to you.
Oh my goodness, I am so excited about the events you're going to be doing and the course and obviously the work that you do. But I feel like, for me, just on a personal level, I have lots to learn from you, and I am looking forward to learning lots more from you. So thank you so, so much. This has just been a fascinating conversation, and there's just so much more. Well, so much more to go into, but I think for you and for everyone listening, this would be a good point to say just thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's been glorious.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device.
And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.